Well, in case if you weren't here last week, I want to fill you in on what's going on. We're in the middle of a missions campaign, something we do yearly to raise money for missions, but also a little bit more than that. Let me review what we did last week really quickly so you got the cliff notes of what's at, in case if you were watching the eclipse or something like that. Last week, I explained that our goal is to raise $55,000 this year for various opportunities, church plants, international student ministry, that sort of stuff. And then I shared our Acts 1:8 plan, which is a fancy word for saying this is our mission strategy of how we're trying to reach our city, our region, and the nations. And so we went through this, our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, our ends of the earth. Each one of these an essential part of the package. But most notably, introducing a new team last week via video that intends on going to the Middle East in 2025. So this is part of our Acts 1:8 plan, what we're doing. And you might remember I gave us a Great Commission refresh. What is this Great Commission that Jesus has called us to? You might remember I showed something that looked like this last week. Globally, if the whole globe of 8.1 billion people is represented by 10 people, well, then four of them would say, Jesus? Who is that? Christian? I've never heard of that term before. What are you talking about? And we talked about how, from Romans 10, that without them hearing, there is no hope for those apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. And so there's a necessity for the church to obey Christ's command, to bring that Great Commission to places where whole cities of people are living today, and they've never heard about Jesus. So we, his church, we're God's plan A for bringing the gospel to the nations, and there is no plan B. So let's join him in what he's doing. So last week, that's what we covered. Today, we're going to talk about how God grants each one of us a door. That's our theme for this year, doors, portals. God grants each one of us a door, which is our unique contribution to the Great Commission, the way God's wired each one of us to make a difference. And to tee that up, let me begin by telling you a story, a true story of somebody that I know. This is my grandpa. We share the same Danish middle name. He's gone on to be with the Lord already, but during his life, he was passionate to help in World War II. And his effort in the World War II made a difference. Let me tell you about it. You'll recall from history class that following Pearl Harbor, the U.S. entered into World War II. Well, the U.S. military required my grandfather to report to Omaha. They had a man that was eager to make a difference in World War II when my grandfather arrived that fateful day to Omaha. But he didn't get to make the difference he was hoping for because he wasn't reporting to Omaha Beach. He was reporting to Omaha, Nebraska, where he was rejected for his draft because of a heart murmur. This was the second time he had been rejected for a heart murmur. Later, he was rejected a third time when he was trying to become a pilot because of his poor eyesight. But my grandpa still found a way to make a difference in World War II. Since when he was really young, he loved tinkering with radios. And so he would take them apart, he would learn how they worked, and he would fix the ones that didn't work. And so using those skills, he built upon them, and as an adult, he was trained first as a civilian in radio skills, and then eventually in the military, in the U.S. Army Signal Corps. And oftentimes, he would find himself longing that he could be on the front lines. He longed to make a difference. But he channeled that passion into his radio excellence. And by the time the war ended, he never made it to the front lines. But I have no doubt that his radio work made its impact in the big picture effort of World War II. My grandfather's experience, I just told you, is representative of the spirit of that time. There was such a weighty sense of purpose among Americans, such that 16 and 17-year-olds were lying about their age in order for the opportunity to go and fight and to make a difference. But not everyone went to the front lines. Nonetheless, the all hands on deck mentality for Americans was one of the major factors that changed the effect of the war. In 1942, a new U.S. department was created to promote messages to help win the war. It was called the Office of War Information, and it created posters like the following. Maybe you've seen some of them. This one, Uncle Sam there, "I need your skills in a war job." It's got a list of specific skills that are needed to advance the cause of the war. For men who weren't doing work, they needed to get involved and contribute their skills toward things that would help with the war. Or this one, I like this one. I know it's hard to read, I'll explain it to you. At the top it says, "The Homemaker's War Guide." It has different sections to give the everyday person a sense of how they can use their everyday life to make a difference in the cause of the war. Maybe one in particular I'll point out that's particularly interesting is here on the right. It says salvage. During that time, Americans were asked to conserve and save their fat, like their bacon fat, which was strained and the grease was then brought to the butcher who would bring it to the military who would then turn it into glycerin, which was then used to make bombs. So, everyday life, straining your bacon grease to make a difference in the war. This one is kind of a famous one too. "Do with less so they'll have enough. Rationing gives you your fair share." Doing with less. Job skills. Way to contribute in an everyday way. Made it so that every person, not just those on the front line, knew they were making a difference. Such that this poster captures it really well. There you go. You got the Navy men shaking the hands of the everyday folks saying, "I'm proud of you folks too." Friends, today I speak to you about the cause of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is so eternally significant, it compels a wartime mentality for how we invest our lives. How can we settle for comfort and ease? How can we settle for wealth and success? How can we settle for wasting hours of our day looking at a screen to entertain ourselves when Christ has given us a worldwide mission? When people here and in unreached nations are waiting for you to tell them that God so loved the world that he gave his only son who sacrificed on the cross as a substitute for us so that anyone who believes in him will not go to hell but experience eternal life now and forever. My hope today is for you to be inspired to take action, to discover the unique way that God has called you in this season to make your difference in the Great Commission. So here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to look at Paul's open door, the Apostle Paul's open door from 1 Corinthians 16. And then secondly, we're going to pull out insights from that so we can learn how to find our door. And then lastly, I'm going to spend the rest of the time just inspiring you about stories for people finding their doors so that you might also find yours. So here's the summary of where we're going. Because the Great Commission is so eternally significant, it compels a wartime mentality for how we invest our lives. God grants each of us a door, a unique contribution towards the cause of the Great Commission. Let's find fresh inspiration for walking in ours, knowing that we'll certainly look back amazed at our impact from heaven. So join me in prayer, and then we're going to get into God's word this morning, all right? King Jesus, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And you purchased men from every tribe and tongue and nation for your glory, that you might display your grace, that we might praise you for ages to come for your matchless grace. This morning, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in power among us, that you would awaken our hearts, that you would stir up our hearts, that this would fill our imaginations more than anything else that we love. Is to love you and to make you known, Jesus. Help this to land. Help this to make sense. Help us to find our place for this season. Live lives of purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to open God's Word. I want to encourage you, instead of using a device, just grab that Bible in front of you. It'll be less distracting. And you'll find we're going to be on page 962, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 16. Just a short passage here this morning. 962, 1 Corinthians 16, starting in verse 5. Follow along with me. The Apostle Paul said, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. That's God's word. Let's unpack it here this morning. Paul's open door for the gospel. Let's try to understand this. Might not be a passage we're super familiar with, so I'm excited to look at it. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth while he's currently ministering in the city of Ephesus. A little bit of background to catch up to that point. Last week we were at Acts 1:8. Jesus is commissioned before his ascension. Go, bring the gospel to all nations, to the ends of the earth. And just a few years after that, Jesus himself met Paul, who was a Christian persecutor, and he turned his life around. Paul converted to Christianity, became the greatest spokesman for it, and he was even sent out on missionary journeys. I'll try to show it to you here with the map. We'll see if I can get this to work. Roop. Yep, okay. So Paul starts here in the city of Antioch. He takes his first missionary journey. It goes something like this. Cyprus, up here, and then he does a boomerang, and he goes back. Goes back to Antioch. That's missionary trip number one. Then he takes a second missionary trip with a new guy, Silas, and they go out from Antioch, and here is the clicker. I think I'll get to work. There we are. We're in Antioch. And then he does a trip like this. He goes up into this area, Cilicia, Iconium, Lystra, and then he gets to the edge of Asia, and something interesting happens. The Holy Spirit says, stop. The Holy Spirit forbids them from continuing their missionary journey into that region called Asia, which is present-day Turkey. Interesting. So they don't go into Asia, and instead they go up here north into Bithynia, and then they do a trip over here to Philippi. It seemed that the Holy Spirit closed a door to Asia so that he could open a door into Philippi, where Paul and Silas share the gospel. They reach a rich lady named Lydia. They reach a Philippian jailer, and that's the start of a church plant in Philippi. And it begins to grow. It's super exciting. So then he goes from Philippi down over here, and here's where Corinth is. It's in Achaia. And after he's done with that, he makes a trip over here. He just does a brief stop in Ephesus to show up at the synagogue, and then he goes back to Jerusalem. Now it's time for missionary journey number three. Paul starts, of course, he always starts in Antioch. So he starts here. He goes here through Cilicia. And then he ends up going over here into Asia. He finally makes it there. He goes into the major city of Ephesus. So he finally makes it there. And something interesting happens. God shows him that he has a wide open door for him, but there are going to be challenges. Let me show you from Acts 19 what happens there. So now this is during the third missionary journey. Paul enters the synagogue of Ephesus, and for 3 months, he speaks boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And after that, he turns to the Gentiles. He then reasons daily in the hall of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Let me go back to the map. So here we are. So Paul faithfully ministers in that city of Ephesus, the place that was a closed door for him, but now was open. And what happens? After just a couple years, this entire region, he says that everyone had heard about the good news of Jesus. Astounding. I don't have the stats. I don't know the land area, but just look at that. and consider 2 years, everyone has heard the gospel on account of Paul and the domino effect that took place in the Great Commission in that area. Pretty cool. But it wasn't without challenges. Before Paul was kicked out, a riot took place because they're so angry at him, they were about ready to beat him up or perhaps even kill him before a city magistrate stopped the whole thing. So Paul had an open door, but he also had a lot of opposition and adversaries in Ephesus. So there's our story. That's Paul's open door. Let's pull out some insights from that brief story to help us find our own wide open doors for the gospel. 4 insights for discovering your door. We'll start with number 1, consider your gifting. You remember what Paul did? Acts 19, it said that he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading. Of all the people who lived at that time, Paul was uniquely gifted. He was amazing in his public speaking. He had both effect with Jews and with Greeks. And so Paul was uniquely gifted to speak in a powerful way that not everybody else could do. And so we learn from Paul's experience, consider your gifting for an open door. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us that each of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, a unique fingerprint of God in each one of us, that it displays God and is a super Holy Spirit-empowered ability to bring good. Ephesians 4 says that when each one of us is using our gift, each part is working properly, we grow up into the head, that's Christ, and the body is built up. And so God's missionary mission advances not merely through missionaries and evangelists going to cities, but it's also advanced through people of extraordinary prayer. The mission is also advanced through people of extraordinary care who are good at loving other people and so on. Don't have time to go through all of them, but that's just giving you a taste. So 1, consider your gifting. Let's take number 2. Start with the obvious. Sometimes we think that our open door is going to be something that comes out of left field. We get a message from someone we've never met before who lives in another country, and one day we hear about it, and the next day we're going to another place. And while that happens, sometimes let's remember the obvious here. Let's look at the Corinthians for this one. Let's look at what the Corinthians were called to do. Paul said he was going to visit them and he was going to stay with them, spend the winter so that they may help him on his journey. For the Corinthians, as they're trying to think, boy, what's our role in making a difference in advancing the gospel to the ends of the earth? Well, here's one that's right in front of their noses. Paul's coming. Why don't we open up our home for Paul and let him stay at our place for the winter? That would be generous. Or even it says, to help me on his journey, meaning to give financial aid to Paul so that he can be the itinerant missionary that he is. So recognize that sometimes we just start with the obvious. Maybe you just start by meeting the neighbor that lives next to you, knowing their name and praying for them. Just what's right in front of you. How about this one? Listen to the Holy Spirit. You remember I was telling you about that moment when they were trying to get into Asia, and it says the Holy Spirit, I'll give you the verse. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Naturally, we assume God always wants us to do whatever comes to our mind to advance his mission. But this example tells us otherwise. This passage shows us the importance of not being on autopilot, but being led by the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes God wants to close a door, and sometimes he wants to open a door. So we must listen and follow the Holy Spirit. All right, there's 3. Here's number 4. Don't assume an open door means it's always easy. Don't assume an open door means it's always easy. Let's look back at that verse. He says, I'll stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door of effective work has been opened to me. Comma. That's not the end of the sentence. And there are many adversaries. Just because it was an open door, just because the gospel was going bonkers, didn't mean it wasn't challenging. Paul still had to face the challenges of people beating him up, Jews who hated him, day in and day out. So don't assume the open door means it's always easy. We learn from Paul's example. So we've seen Paul's example. Now I want to turn the corner, and I want to just spend the rest of the time inspiring you on what your door might be and how the difference that the unique role you have is significant. It matters the way you live your life for the sake of the Great Commission. So I'm going to start by sharing a little bit of my recent story, briefly, about finding my current door. Then I'm going to have other Summit View members share about finding their door through a video. And lastly, I'm going to give you just rapid fire, lots of practical opportunities for you to consider helping find your door. So let me tell you a little bit about my recent story the last couple years. Just as my grandfather was passionate to find his role in the war, I want to be passionate to find my role in the Great Commission. And when God closes the door, I want to find my way to make a difference. And so that happened recently. I was doing college ministry. It was my familiar door. I'd done it for 14 years. And it was clear that God was closing that door for me. And so now it was time to seek the Holy Spirit and be led by Him and what He would have for me. And so let me give you let me tell you the punchline, and then I'll rewind back and explain how we got there. For this season, it seems that my family's open door for the gospel involves supporting missionaries relationally and welcoming internationals in Fort Collins. Let me tell you the journey that got there. Back in 2022, the ISM, our International Student Ministry, restarted our Friday evening volleyball sports night where we bring internationals in the building post-COVID, so we needed to restart it. And I was shocked one night seeing my Middle Eastern friend from campus in our gym. One night I'd previously helped him with his English. And not only was he there at sports night, but he continued to text me to invite me every week to come play volleyball with him at my church. And his peer group grew, and they grew to fill our gym on Friday nights. And the sports night has been different. It's been in a good way ever since that moment. And I've enjoyed bringing my family along with me as opposed to me going alone. We have a very spiritual moment every week, one in which seems totally ordinary, but we are living totally radically. And every Friday night, we're tired. We could just stay home and be comfortable. But we get in our car, and on the way here, we are praying and we're reminding ourselves, we don't exist for ourselves. We are here to advance the gospel of Jesus. And so we beg that Jesus would keep us from selfishness, that He would make us bold with the gospel, that He would give us opportunities to love other people. So my family joins with me, and we get to do things like this. Meanwhile, my wife and I were both reading and listening to books over time. Here are a few of them. Looks like one of them didn't show up. We've got Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, Women Who Risk, and the first one was called Miraculous Movements. Books that inspired us, that reminded us God is on the move today. The church isn't dead. The gospel of Jesus Christ is spreading like wildfire around the globe. And He's still working miracles today, and we want to be part of it. After that, then, my wife began befriending families that we sponsored. Our church sponsored some families, some refugees. And so she began to befriend them, just started with one relationship that over the course of the last couple years has ballooned into dozens of relationships with internationals. And now there are contexts in which my kids can also join her on mission as she goes and spends time with women and their kids, and they too get to join us in loving and reaching out to others. I've grown to learn a couple things. I'm kind of slow. I don't always get things quickly. My wife is a very gifted befriender. She is great at striking up new friendships, and she's amazing at prioritizing relationship. I do not have the same relational capacity as my wife. I think I've got a good capacity, but she's far more than mine. And so I've learned to grow to allow her to set the pace for our relationships, for befriending others. It goes beyond my comfort zone, but her gift has allowed our family to really flourish and to be able to touch more people. Let me go back to my life, not just my wife's, and tell you about an aha moment I had last May sitting in Lima Coffee in Old Town, Fort Collins. I was chatting with two members of our Portal Mission small group, and they have been completely obscured by this plant so that you don't know who they are. Through the thoughtful leadership from Paul and Noah on that group, the group of missionaries was considering a redirection. Whereas many of them wanted to disperse to different countries and around the world, they threw out the idea, what if all the missionaries, or many of them, decided to stack hands and go to one location? And it was through this conversation with these two that I came to realize the immense value that missionaries feel when churches are connected to them, when they have even specifically a pastor that will champion them and have them on their radar. And I realized this might be for me. At the same time, I was reading the missionary biography of William Carey. He's called the father of modern missions. And before he traveled to India, he started a missions organization with some friends, and they had a great illustration for what their role was. The role of the mission org was to hold the rope. They described missions as someone who's willing to go down into the well, but up on top, somebody has got to hold the rope for them. That stood out to me. Between the Lima conversation, the William Carey well illustration, and then some shepherding gifting God's given me, I recognize it was a perfect triple threat. All those together, I think God was calling me to be able to be a sender, to relationally support missionaries. This was my noble way of making a difference in the Great Commission. Though there is an eagerness of my heart, even to go to the nations, to be on the field, but to think maybe this is the strategic contribution the Holy Spirit has apportioned for me. So that grew, and then Danny and I were able to travel together to a conference to learn more about sending missionaries. And furthermore, we also were part of hosting a debriefing retreat. And debriefing is a process for missionaries of when they go through challenging experiences, they get help unpacking their heart and finding peace in Jesus and finding peace through what's gone on. So these are a couple ways we've gotten to partner together towards this end. So that's a little bit of my story. My goal is not that you would have my same door. I'm just telling it to inspire you. And maybe something from my story will relate to yours. But I don't want you to see my story. I want you to see more. We've got three more that are on this video. So I want to get that, we can get ready to have that queued up. Because I want you to remember that the role that God has for you is unique to you. And your contribution matters in the Great Commission. It makes a difference in eternity. So may you find these stories of this video inspiring. May they help you find your door. So let's roll that video and see these saints share.
Whether we're going across the street or going across the globe, we can all be on mission.
Becky Michaud. I think it can be easy to discount local opportunities to serve because they don't feel as exciting as international missions, but there are so many needs all around us, and sometimes we're best equipped to serve in the places where we have the most connections and resources.
Hi everybody, my name is Gloria Matsushita, and I am part of the Summit View Portal Small Group. I have seen the sacrifices that a lot of my friends have made and to give up their comfortable world here in the United States and live overseas. And that has challenged me significantly to really look at how much value I'm placing in my relationship with God and the gospel itself, and what can I do here locally. It is so unique to be living in Fort Collins. There are so many opportunities to share more of Him. We have Colorado State University just in our backyards. And there's so many international students traveling to study at CSU, and there's such an opportunity there. I've seen it so many times over and over with our international friends getting baptized, accepting Jesus, and that is extremely exciting.
People everywhere need Jesus and the gospel, and sometimes the first place to start is right where you already are. In the phase of life that I'm in right now, that often just means sharing the gospel with my kids, but helping at the Resource Center has given me a chance to expand my reach quite a bit as I'm interacting with different types of people that I just don't really rub elbows with in my normal life. So the Resource Center opened up during a season when I was already really busy, and it turned out that it was going to be on Fridays, which is the one day a week that my kids go to school, and that's my day to catch up on all the other things in my life. So it kind of fell off my radar for a while until one Sunday Travis was on stage saying that they really needed more help at the Resource Center and they especially needed Spanish speakers. So I was sitting there thinking, can I make this work? I don't know. And then my 12-year-old nudged me and he goes, "Mom, they need you. You speak Spanish." And I said, "Jack, I know I want to, but it's hard because it's the one day you and your brother are in school." And he goes, "No, Mom, it's easy because it's the one day we're in school." And he had a good point. I don't know if I would have done it if he hadn't called me out like that, honestly. I've never been great at being the one to immediately stand up and say, "Here am I, send me." I'm kind of in awe of God's grace to me, that he's still patient enough to give me jobs to do in his kingdom, even though he always seems to have to give me a shove out the door before I'll go do the work.
Hello, everyone. My name's Jason Rolfe. I see being on mission as a core part of my faith. Of us is called to be an ambassador as part of our identity as Christians. I'm grateful to be involved with the youth group here at Summitview. Through these Manmaker events, I see the teen years as a journey from child to adult, which is a time where many convictions are wrestled with and decisions are made. I'm excited to help the teens learn how to own their own faith, seeing a relationship with Jesus as something for them to make personal while they grow in the character they will need as a man. So in the Manmaker experiences, we focus on six different character traits, which are courage, purity, integrity, excellent action, protective leadership, and kingdom focus. Help fathers disciple their sons to be part of the greater mission of the church to bring the gospel to Fort Collins.
I feel like it's a privilege and an honor to partner with God in all these things that he's doing. And it really excites me here locally as well as internationally.
As I've taken perspectives a few years ago and again this year, my eyes have been opened to the vastness and complexity of reaching every tribe, tongue, and nation. I see those that have been called as incredibly courageous and faith-filled. I also know how challenging it can be to move to a new country and culture. So we as a family want to be a support to those that go.
One of my dreams is to encourage our local body to be better senders. And it's as important. Senders are as important as goers. I do believe that as senders, we do have responsibilities, and there's so many different opportunities to help support. One of the ways that I can think of is, and the most important, is to pray. Pray. And I would even recommend more prayer. And one pro tip, I get newsletters from missionaries overseas and read their newsletters and actually respond to them. I'm busy at work, but I will stop whenever I get an email newsletter. I will actually stop what I'm doing and in that moment respond a short response, letting them know how much I appreciate them and that I'm praying for them. And it's really simple. But if everybody did that, I feel like our friends would be so encouraged by that. Another way you can bless a missionary is by visiting them. They feel like they're known and valued. You can pray more specific prayers because you see exactly what kind of spiritual battle they experience. You can even organize a short-term mission trip and bring some of your friends along as well. When I visited Becky Keith in Japan, and there was actually a team of us who went, and we also visited Dusty. We brought a whole suitcase full of gifts for them and really spent time getting to know them and see how God is using their ministry. One thing that God has put on my heart is to be living here in the United States very frugally and very sacrificially so that I can give generously.
As a family, we have a goal of being generous with our finances, helping as many as possible to go as we can. We also have a magnet board at home where we post pictures of all the missionaries that we support to remind us to be praying for them. I would encourage you to find a place to give your heart to here in Fort Collins and internationally.
I'm very excited about the opportunities that God will give us. They are endless.
Thank you.
Wasn't that great? I hope that encouraged you getting to hear them. Hope you were inspired by their examples, their stories. And so with that, let me move on and wrap up by giving you a number of different opportunities to consider. Please do not do all of these opportunities. I'm not telling you to do all of them. I'm giving you some inspirational fodder, all right? So here are the four categories of ideas, and these come straight. You can find all of these on our webpage, someofyou.com/missions, but at least for here, you'll find them here. So four different categories: prayer, invest your time, share your resources, and relational care. And I'm going to give you rapid-fire examples from each one of those categories, beginning with prayer. You remember we talked about Luke 10:2 last week, where Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more laborers into his harvest." And you heard Gloria say, what do we need to do? We need to pray, 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 and then probably pray some more after that, because the kingdom of God moves forward as we pray together. And so let me give you a few opportunities for prayer coming up. Maybe the first one, commit to be a prayer partner for a missionary. You can see their pictures on this door in our lobby if you haven't met them, but perhaps you want to go up to one of them. Don't wait for them to ask you. Just go up to them and be like, hey, I want to be a prayer partner for you. Put me on your list. I want to get your newsletters. Count me in to pray faithfully for you while you're on the field. Another idea, like I said, this is going to be fast. Here's the second one. Watch a prayer cast video. There's a good chance that a lot of you have never seen one of these before. And if you haven't, maybe even tonight for dinner, if you're together with your roommates or your family, just pull up one of these prayer casts, and it's a 5-minute video. You can choose any nation or topic, and it will inspire you with how you can pray specifically either for other nations or causes. By the way, if any of these stand out to you, feel free to pull out your phone. In this case, snap a picture so you can remember the thing that the Holy Spirit prompts for you, okay? Okay, another way to pray. Pray for gospel advance in the countries you read about in the news. It's so easy just to read about the news and then feel discouraged, whether you're reading globally or domestically. So whenever you read about what's going on in the news, take a moment and pray that the gospel would advance with regard to that thing you're reading about in the news. Next one, join a Summit View prayer meeting. We've got four opportunities here. Sunday mornings beforehand, we've got a Tuesday lunchtime on Zoom, Wednesday evening, specifically praying for our teenagers, and then once a month, there's a Saturday morning in which we pray specifically for each one of our missionaries. Plenty of ways to pray, but if you want to join with others, you need a little momentum, check those out. You can also find those on our website as well. Lastly, for prayer, pray faithfully for lost ones in your life. We can't change hearts. We long to change hearts of people we love, and it begins on our knees as we faithfully pray day in, day out, and say them by name, and we ask that Jesus would change their hearts and bring them into his kingdom. So there's a few ideas for prayer. Let me give you some ideas for how to invest your time. Great opportunities coming up, so pay attention. The first one, opportunity to tutor at our English corner on Friday nights. This is something that Sue Wang is taking point on, so you can talk to her for details. But this happens every Friday, 7:30 to 8:30, so it's an hour. You don't need any previous training. And so many different organizations in Fort Collins are actually going to be referring people to us because we've lifted up our hand and say, hey, we'll help new people, whether it's refugees or those who've immigrated, to learn English. So there's a need for more there, and it's a tremendous opportunity. So I encourage you to check that out and talk to Sue. Second idea, join our international student ministry events. There's every Friday, there's sports in our gym. There's monthly, there's usually a potluck and some other kind of outreach, especially as we move into the summer with barbecues. And so you can talk to Ching Yu for information about that if you want the chance to meet somebody, maybe from another country for the first time. All right, next, volunteer at our resource center on Friday afternoons. You heard Becky share her story. She's getting to use Spanish to be able to help others. We believe this is part of the greater mission to bring good to our city in the name of Jesus, no strings attached, and to bless others. So definitely consider that opportunity. Next one, to invest your time, learn a gospel sharing tool and use it alongside a friend. Here in the picture, we've got Daniel and Chris. Both of them are eager to be able to help you learn how to share your story and how to share the gospel. And they've got great tools that are simple and reproducible that you can learn and then you can pass on so that we can share the gospel with our city and beyond. And so you don't have to learn through them, but I encourage you to talk to them. I think they will inspire you as you get together. Last one for invest your time, invest in the next generation. We've got multiple ministries here for that. We've got our Summit View Kids on Sunday morning. We have our youth, which is middle school and high school, on Wednesday evenings. And then 242, our college ministry. And so there's a great opportunity to invest in them, to mentor, to teach, whatever it may be. All right, so now we've done two. Let's go on to the third one, share your resources. First one, give financial support to a missionary. Remember I shared last week, we ought not be burdened by this request when missionaries ask us for money, but rather rejoice that God has given this church such a great stewardship to send out so many missionaries. It's a blessing. So when they come up to you, don't avoid them. Don't start creeping away when they get close to you, but rather proactively invite them in and say, hey, I want to get to talk to you. Would you tell me what's going on for you in missions? And as the Holy Spirit leads, maybe you will or won't give money, but at least get together with them. And you never know what opportunity it will lead to, what connection might be made, which is actually the second point that I want to make, which is to connect friends to missionaries to increase their financial support. This is humongous. This is big. For missionaries, it's priceless for them to grow their connections for finding people to give them support. They're not going to find all their financial support in this room. It's going to come from beyond it. And so when you get together with them, they're going to ask, hey, do you know anybody that might be interested in supporting what I'm doing? And here's what you shouldn't do. Oh, yeah, I think of somebody. Let me send you an email address after this, and you can email them. And then they're supposed to email somebody they've met. Hey, I've never met you. Here's what you need to do. Say, hey, you know what? I've got this uncle. He lives down in Tennessee. Man, he is so ridiculously rich. You wouldn't believe it. He's just asking me, like, what should I do with all my money? And I love Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call him up and call and say, hey, uncle, I've got this friend. They're going to go to the Middle East. Could you give them lots of dough so that they're ready to bring the gospel there? And then you make the connection for them, and you bring the three of you together. You, friend, missionary, whether physically or through email or through a call, connect them straight to them. It will bless them. Awesome. You're going to remember that because I made it funny, but you should do it for real. All right, here's the next one. It's short. Offer your airline miles to a missionary. They've got so much travel to do. Some of it's international. Some of it's domestic for training. Some of you guys have lots of airline miles. You don't know what to do with all of it. So consider, is there a way you can transfer that or gift it to somebody else? Look into that. A great opportunity. Next one, utilize your skills to assist a missionary. Missionaries need help with so many different things. They need help with writing. They need help with speaking. They need MailChimp skills. They need travel planning skills. They need marriage help and counseling. They need help with their finances, budgets. Some of you guys have those skills and you're thinking, oh, I'm not good at whatever they need. I don't have a lot of money. Well, maybe you've got a skill that you can come alongside and be like, I do this every week for like 50 hours a week. Could I help you with it for an hour? That kind of thing. Utilize your skills. Be creative. Here's one maybe you've never thought about before. This one gets me excited. Use your work network to open up jobs or access to closed countries. Some of you guys have, through your work, you have connections to countries that we could never dream of getting into easily. And maybe it's not the same countries as our missionaries. That's fine. It all counts for the Great Commission. Maybe there's a way you could open up a connection or jobs to a place that's closed for the gospel so that we can get boots on the ground and help win the war. So consider that. Pretty fun. Next one. Host a backyard VBS. You guys remember every year we do a VBS. We do them in our backyards. We have a number of them so that we can better reach our city for people who aren't comfortable coming into a church building. And so you could be willing to share your backyard, or maybe for some of you, I want to give you this idea. Some of you, your kids, they're not elementary school age anymore, and you think, great, I'm done with VBS. Oh, no, VBS is for our entire church. Every age, everyone has a role because it's one of the main ways we can touch our whole city with the gospel. So if you don't have elementary school kids, you probably went through it, come alongside a younger parent and say, hey, I want to help you. I want to be your armor bearer. I want to hold up your arms so that your VBS is successful and you can mentor them. That's a way that you can share your resources, your knowledge. Consider that. That's coming up soon. You're going to be hearing about that right around the corner. Here's an easy one, nice and quick. Provide a meal for a new visitor to church. You meet a new friend, you're sitting in the pews, you get the 1 minute to talk, you're like, hey, we should meet. Afterwards, say, hey, lunch is on me. Come to my house or I'm buying. Let's go out. A great way to share your resources. All right, one more for this and then some relational care. When missionaries are back on their break, consider doing one of these. Offer them a ride to and from the airport. Or maybe you have an extra car you could lend them because they don't always have a car when they get back. Or maybe they don't even have a house here. So you got an extra guest room. It's just sitting, doing nothing. Open up your guest room. Let the missionary come in. All right, last category, relational care. Here's one. When the missionary's back from their trip, invite them to share. Or no, this would just be anytime. This would be now or when they're back. Invite for them to share their story with you. Like I shared earlier, just go up to them and be like, hey, I know you're nervous to talk to me. Let's just get together. Let's find a time, and I want you to share your story of why you're so passionate to go somewhere, and let me see what I can do to help you. So offer to hear their story. This one's great. You remember Gloria gave us this advice, how to respond to missionary newsletters. She says she stops in the middle of work. I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. That's awesome. Here's other ways you can respond too. You could respond with a thoughtful or brief question. Hey, I loved reading about your outreach event, and how's that person doing? You baptized them last year? I haven't seen a picture of them. How are they doing? Or maybe even send them a picture of Fort Collins. Hey, here's what's going on here. Or even say, hey, let me give you updates of what's going on. Some of you, we just sold all these pumpkins in front of our church building. There were like 10,000 pumpkins. They love hearing about it. They love staying up on it. Take a missionary out to coffee when they're back and just say, hey, how are you doing? Now, how are you really doing? How are things going for you? No agenda, just listening. Next one is related to it. I mentioned this earlier. Debriefing is that process for unpacking the heart for missionaries and really anyone. We have a training coming up pretty soon here. It's going to be next Sunday evening and then the following Monday. And it's a chance to be trained in becoming a debriefer. And so if you want to do this, you'll actually get that training, and then you get 3 chances to shadow somebody so that you are qualified and ready to debrief others, missionaries or otherwise. So if that interests you, you can follow that QR code or you can talk to me, and love to be able to help you with that. A couple more here. Gloria's example, go visit a missionary in their country. Some of you guys are thinking, man, what am I going to do for vacation this year? I got a whole lot of money, and I got to go somewhere. Why not, instead of building it around a cool place to visit and the sites you'll see, build it around a person, build it around a missionary, and then you'll go there, and you'll see cool sites, and it'll be even better because it'll be in relationship. But go visit a missionary, maybe bring some friends with you, and make it your mission trip to encourage them. That could be a super fun idea. Okay, 3 more. Befriend someone from another culture. So a great way to do this, go to an ethnic restaurant in Fort Collins and regular it, and then meet the people who work there. And that's your doorway into meeting people from another country. Or if not that, then CSU has so many facets for you to be able to meet international students, so consider looking into that. Next to last one, meet each of your neighbors. Remember, want to get to the nations? Let's start with our neighbors. Do you know all the neighbors that live around you? Do you know their names? There's a good chance that with the rate of turnover, somebody has moved into your neighborhood in the past year. And everyone goes into hibernation during winter, and now they're coming out, and now's your chance to meet them. So I encourage you, meet your neighbors, know their name, and you can start praying for them. All right, lastly, super simple. Invite someone to a weekly church event. Whether it's here or we do our Tuesday afternoons, we have a coffee bar here for people to have a workspace in our lobby. or a small group. This might not be the first step for them coming to our church service, but something, just invite them. Great step. So with that, I'm going to invite the band up. You guys can come on and join me back here on stage. But I encourage you, I'm hoping that at least one of those, maybe five, inspired you. And it gave you an idea of one or two things that you want to do. So, friends, today, I want to implore you toward the cause of the Great Commission. You remember our pictures from World War II? Well, when it comes to this cause, I want us to be passionate for the cause, that we'll do anything to make a difference. We'll be creative. We will be frugal and generous. We'll find the metaphorical way to use our bacon grease to make a difference in the Great Commission, because it takes everyone. It's not just those on the front line that matter. Everyone matters in the Great Commission, and what you do is essential. It's crucial. The Holy Spirit's given you a unique door to walk through. And so I want to encourage us during these dark days, let's not be those who are complaining that, oh man, why are we living through such dark times? Let's rise to the challenge and say, oh my goodness, God, we are so blessed to live right now, right here at this point in history. As the stakes are getting higher, bring it on. We want to go for it. We want to be part of the Great Commission. And I want to especially challenge those of you who are 18 through 25 years old. Just like in World War II, I want you to think about them rising to the challenge in their time. And I want you to give your lives for the sake of the Great Commission. Surrender your dreams to Jesus. Put it all on the line and say, Jesus, I'll do anything you want. And let him guide your life and see what he'll do for the sake of the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission is eternally significant. How can we live for anything else? How could we live for comfort and ease? What a lame purpose. How can we live for wealth and riches and success? So disappointing. How can we live for entertainment on our screens when the world is waiting? They're waiting to hear the good news that God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to die as a substitute on the cross so that anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And today they're waiting. Some of them are saying, Jesus, who's that? And they're waiting for you to do your part in this Great Commission because they need to hear about it. And eternity matters. So let's not waste our lives. And so my hope is today that you'll be inspired to action, that something in here is registered in your heart, that maybe even you just got maybe fresh vision for continuing to do what you're already doing, but you have a better idea for why you're doing it. And so for some of you, maybe today you're hearing me speak, and maybe this is the first time this is setting in, and you're saying, man, that sounds amazing, but you know what? I've never even crossed that line. I've never even decided to follow Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today, this is your day. The Holy Spirit's drawing your heart. You want to join in on this. The first step is to receive the free gift of eternal life in Jesus. And before you do anything to reach the world for the gospel, start by admitting you're a sinner and receive the grace that Jesus has for you, that eternal life. For others of you, I think God might be tugging on your heart. He's saying, I want you to go. And so if that's you today, I want you to encourage you, listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Jesus, because you couldn't give your life for anything greater than the advancement of the gospel to the glory of God. But for all of us, we'll have a role. It's not just for the front line, it's for what we do here. It's not that we have to do the Great Commission. We get to do the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a far better purpose than anything else we could do with our lives. Amen? Friends, one day the war is going to be over. The mission will be complete. We will experience global peace, and we are going to look back from heaven on the open doors that God had provided for us. And we will finally see the impact of our small contributions towards this big thing. And oh, the surprise that God has in store for you. Oh, the look that will be on your face when he shocks you with the domino effect he had through your life as he touched dozens of people and who knows how many with the gospel. And as people in heaven will come up to you and look you in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you for getting the gospel to me. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to spend eternity with you. So in view of this, brothers and sisters, in view of Christ's eternally significant Great Commission, let's reject any lesser purpose. Let's invest our lives with a wartime mentality, and let's walk through our unique Great Commission open doors. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you so love the world, that you gave your Son. We're so grateful that you rescued us from wrath and from hell so we can have eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you would use us, that our lives would be a drink offering poured back to you, not to earn anything, but just a big thank you, because we can never thank you enough for such an amazing gift. Help us to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to obey you, and to spend our lives for the sake of the glory of God and the advancement of the Great Commission. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.